Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the greatest Doom Patrol podcast that's around right now. Make no guarantees for the future or the past.
Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarb. You can reach us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can find us on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. You can also check out mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com to see companion pieces and lots of excellent other Doom Patrol-related articles from friend Doug Zavisha, and all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com.
And I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_Hicks, H-I-X. And we have a sentient show Twitter account, which is Wilfred at WFD Pod. Hi, Wilfred.
Hello, humans.
And we are sponsored by Comicosity, the amazing website all about comics and not cars and trees.
Yeah, that'll be a bit misleading. Yes, Comicosity, once again, have provided us this past week with another excellent article in the Heroes series of features by friend of the show, Jessica Boyd. And this week she's been talking with Karina Becko, who's done lots of comic stuff, you know, stuff like Aliens, Vampirella. She's worked with Gabriel Hardman on Invisible Republic. She's done Lords of the Jungle featuring Tarzan and Sheena, Betrayal of the Planet of the Apes, and Miss Fury for Dynamite Comics as well. So, yeah, that was a really cool article. So check that out for more. And lots of other good comics love on Comicosity.com.
Woohoo!
Yes. And so continuing on, let's have a look at what's been going on in the week that was. What's been happening with you, Paul?
I've been reading comics. Yes.
Hooray.
So I have been reading, do you know the Secret Files, the DC Secret Files that were popular in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been reading some of those. And interesting. They're an interesting little snapshot of what was cool at the time. So I have one, which is JLA Secret Files. Well, it's sort of DC Universe Secret Files number 2, 2001-2002. And I bought it because the new hotness at the time was the John Arcudi Volume 3 of Doom Patrol. So they had a promo page in there, a Who's Who page, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But looking around, there's the JLA Haven were hot. Do you remember them?
No.
No one does. It's good. Not alone. Yeah, so they were a big thing. The DC Universe was sort of coming out of No Man's Land. Lex Luthor was the president. It's much better when fictional reality is better than real life, isn't it? Yeah, there were some good times there. Batgirl was getting ready to fight Lady Shiva. Yeah, bit of a snapshot of what was, but interesting little stories. And the Legion of Superheroes was sort of Abnett and Lanning it up, which are two of the creators that I think did a great job on the Legion of Superheroes. Probably my second favorite run of Legion of Superheroes. So.
Okay.
And I'm very excited they are planning to release a trade of their run starting, and hopefully they'll just keep going with it because they did the Legion Lost trade seems to be the only thing they like releasing, and then they always wuss out before Legion Worlds, which was the follow-up maxi series. But Olivia Coppel started on Legion of Superheroes with Abnett and Lanning.
Wow, okay.
And Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, they used to write lots together, and now they don't get on at all, apparently. They've broken up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But anyway, Dan Abnett still writes Aquaman in the Rebirth era.
Cool.
And the Teen Titans? The Titans.
Right. Yes.
Not DC's A Titans. The Titans.
Right. The slightly older than Teen Titans.
Yeah. So that's what I've been all over. What about you, Mike?
Nothing else has been going on, you know? No other celebrations or anything, or...
Are you alluding to
the Hicksiversary?
Oh,
this past week was Paul's birthday. Happy birthday again, Paul.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you. It's not worth talking about. I'm old. I'm the oldest I've ever been in my life.
Happens officially. To the best of us, yeah. Well, I hope you had a pleasant celebration somewhere, somehow, of some sort.
Thank you. I am the proud owner of a Robot Man t-shirt, which my wife got me from somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, excellent. She has always been fantastic at finding me interesting superhero wear. And so, yes, I was very surprised to get a Robot Man t-shirt. I believe you are familiar with this Robot Man t-shirt.
Is it the light blue one?
Yes.
Yes, I have the exact same one, yes. We have to wear them together somewhere.
Yes. You. And... yeah. Let's get mistaken for a gay couple.
Oh, I'm going to add that to the bucket list. So yes, happy birthday for this past week. In terms of my reading of that, I'm continuing on with the Wonder Woman War of the Gods trade. I'm halfway through the third last issue, and I have two issues after that. And
so we're going to be hearing about this for the next four episodes of...
No, I want to get it finished before the next episode. That's how you get
up with that book after a while.
I'm determined to have it finished before the next episode, because my actual current to read pile continues to grow. So I've got lots of things in there I want to get into. But yeah, the War of the Gods, it is what it is. It's fine. it'll get read and then added to my DC Events bookshelf. And then I'll move on from it. So, yes. But anyway, after that blip on the radar, let's go and have a look at what's happening down on Durrington Way.
As we go down on Durrington Way, we can see that very little news is coming out now. We're still in the post-coital glow of having a new issue last episode,
right.
Last week. In fact. So things are quiet. Things are stable, I would say. Stable. The patient is stable. So at this point, the issue 6 is still coming out on the 19th of April. Issue 7, kind of surprisingly, is coming out on the 26th of April, which is 1 week later. Mm-hmm. But that is a Mike Allred drawn issue, so the creative team is different on that one.
Right.
Issue 8 is still coming out on the 31st of May, so the very last day of May. And, this is special. By the time you listen to this episode, the Doom Patrol Director's Cut of issue number 1 will be out.
Ooh.
So we do not have that in our hands yet, but we will be looking at it on an upcoming episode, I believe.
Yes,
that's the way things work. Other than that, it's all stable. The Doom Patrol trade of Volume 1 is still scheduled to come out on the 31st of May as well. So... by the time we get to the end of May, if nothing happens, and I'm pointing my finger just wildly around the place, if nothing happens, we will have three more issues and a director's cut and a trade by the end of May.
At this stage.
For maturity. Well,
I hope the schedule sticks as is.
Yes.
I hope that, you know, it does what it's promised as it is written on the box. But, yeah.
Yeah, Jared Way, the writer of Doom Patrol that we read, he did an update on his Tumblr basically saying that he found issue 3 and 4 really hard to write, and Grant Morris had warned him that it's really hard to get comfortable writing a series until you get to about issue 4, and he in fact found 4 to be the hardest to write. So Jared Way had a lot of trouble with issue 4, but after that it got better. So
issue 4 was comforting.
Was the really late one. So that's interesting. Yeah. Hmm. Yes. But we will get more Doom Patrol in the future, and he's really getting comfortable, and that's good because we want, you know, I'd like this to be quite a long run. I'll be disappointed if it ends before, you know, the 30s, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the last three runs have gone for either, one went for 18 and then two other went for 22. So... yeah. If we're going for the 30s or higher, that's great.
And also, around the time that we will release this episode, WonderCon is on, and I believe Jared Way will be at WonderCon. And just on Twitter, they were asking people to send in questions for Jared. So I took the moment to ask him, will he tell us whatever happened to Giacomo by doing an issue called Whatever Happened to Giacomo? Now, Giacomo, as you know, as you don't know, mostly, he appeared in the Brotherhood of Evil. He was their dwarf member.
Master of disguise.
Master of Disguise. And he made such an impression that he only really appeared in one story in issue 87 of the first volume of Doom Patrol.
Mm, yeah.
Or My Gross Adventure, number 87, was it? Yeah, 86 it became Doom Patrol. Yes. No? I don't know.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll check the tapes. It'll be fine.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is the question that's been unanswered for, 52 years or something?
Something 50, like that.
55, yeah. 55 years.
Yeah.
Where's Giacomo? What's he up to? Yeah. It'd be good to know. I think it'd make a funny story.
It would, yeah. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. And as in the past, I've asked questions of Jared Way at cons, and the answer has been given, but I never heard the answer. So if you are out there and you heard the answer to my question, please remember the answer and tell me. That would be nice. Did you ask any questions, Mike?
No, I didn't. I think Wilfred was going to try and ask if and when Gerard and Nick were going to appear on this show, but I don't know if he got around to that yet. But if anyone who does go to WonderCon gets a chance to speak with Gerard or, you know, the powers that be, maybe ask the same question. When, oh when, will they appear on Waiting for Doom? And when will we see Giacomo again?
Yes.
Two very important questions.
Mr. 103 and Mento.
Madame Rouge, you know.
Madame Rouge. So Gemini popped up. Did you see that? Gemini popped up in Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, according to Mark.
Yes.
Our Edinburgh agent.
Yes.
I mean agent as in operative, not as in he manages our bookings for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And takes 40% of our profits. Because there are no profits.
No. We make nothing out of this show. Don't sue.
And I mean profits as in money, not as in religious soothsayers and seers of the future.
Yeah, I think we got it. And we're getting sillier. And thank goodness I can hear ticking.
Oh.
Which can only mean that the doom clock is waiting for us. So as we gaze upon the face of the mighty Doom clock, it's telling us that the last Doom Patrol book we had was only 1 week ago, issue 5 of volume 6, or episode 89.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. It was a great issue. They've all been great, other than the delays. Yeah. The next issue of a Doom Patrol book is issue 6 of volume 6. And as Paul said, that's due April 19th of 2017, so only 3 weeks to go.
At this stage.
At this stage. The last appearance of the patrol as a team, as the whole patrol, was 1 year and 32 weeks ago in two different comics, All-Star Section 8, number 3, and Justice League United, number 12. And we're fairly confident that they will be reunited victoriously as a team by issue 6.
Well, proportionally, they probably are reunited at this point. Like, there's more than, 75% of the team together at this point. So that's, you know... Yeah. If it's a majority rules thing. I mean, maybe the team will never be reunited the way we think. Maybe the chief will always be, you know, in people's heads and
maybe
in other worlds. Or, you know, maybe the chief is dead and it's just his disembodied spirit.
Oh, that's maybe. Cheery.
Yeah.
Wow. And this week in Doom Patrol history... Going on sale for $1 on March 29th, 1988, with a cover date of July of that year, was Doom Patrol issue 10 from volume 2 by Paul Kupperberg and Eric Larson. This issue was titled The Soul of the Machine, and it saw the patrol come face to face with Metallo and featured a guest appearance by none other than Superman.
Who?
The Big Red Cheese? Or is that Shazam?
That's Captain Marvel, thanks.
Same diff. Ugh. Some
not according to the lawyers.
Some big Boy Scout with a cape, you know. But okay, this one is the Boy Scout, the big blue Boy Scout. Superman, that guy.
Supergirl's cousin. Good.
Yeah, that other guy, yeah. We covered that issue along with the second part of that story, which came from Superman Volume 2, Issue 20, way back in Episode 40 from November of 2015. Wow, we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
So yes, you can check that episode out for more. And that is it for the Doom Clock this week.
Hello, I'm Ryan Daly. Join me and my special guests, FKA Jason and Diablo Frank, plus the Fighting Sutherlands. It's all coming up on Talking Doom right after the show.
end of the world is approaching. Soon the planet will be engulfed in a nuclear Armageddon. And the only people that can prevent this from happening are considered to be the greatest villains of all time. The only thing standing in their way is the Justice League. In 2005...
Wait a second. Are we sure about that date this time?
Yeah, it's 2005. We're sure this time.
Let's just be perfectly clear. I hate all of you so much.
Okay, good. Got that. All right.
In 2005, DC Comics began publishing a 12-issue bi-monthly comic called Justice. Written by Jim Kruger with art by Alex Ross and Doug Braithwaite, this series was essentially a Super Friends for adults. And now another group of Super Friends has come together to discuss all 12 issues in a podcasting crossover called J.L. May 2017. The excitement begins on the April 30th episode of the Fire and Water podcast and continues into Supermates, the Idlehead of Diabolu podcast, Views from the Long Box, the Pulp to Pixel podcast, the Lantern cast, the Shazam cast, Comic Reflections, the Silver and Gold podcast, The Power of Fishnets, Waiting for Doom, and Justice's First Dawn. J.L. May 2017. Last year, they covered the beginning of the Justice League. This year, they discuss and review the League's toughest battle. The coverage begins on April 30th on the Fire and Water podcast, located at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
And now we're going to introduce a new segment to the show. It's a bit of a, it's a tough issue to talk about. He said giggling. It's very serious.
It's personal.
It's quite personal. It's putting a hand out to our friends and fans and saying that, you know, we need help, you know, or one of us does.
Yeah.
It's
we're not invincible. We're vincible.
We're quite vincible. Yes.
Yeah.
So let's roll the intro music for this brand new segment, and that might give people a bit of a hint.
I guess it feels like you're always alone, and I feel that way too. It's so hard. Please understand what I do. I burn for you. What am I gonna do? I burn for you. Burn for you.
So yes, this segment is called Burn for You. And Paul, how about you explain to people the purpose behind Burn for You?
Yeah, I own a lot of Doom Patrol comics. I own comics related to the Doom Patrol. But there's some comics to do with the Doom Patrol that I never bought. And they were the ones written by John Byrne. And over the years, I've gathered a few issues. I've got issue 1, 2, and 3. But there are 18 issues, and that means there are 15 out there that I don't have. Is that right? 14? 15? Yes. Maths, not my strong suit. But we need an appeal, because we need me to get hold of these issues so we can review them, because they're not on Comixology. No. It's almost as if Comixology knows something about these issues that we don't.
Good taste.
But, yeah.
Sorry, very serious.
We want people to help us. So if you can get hold of any of those issues of John Byrne's Doom Patrol, which is Volume 4, Issues 4 through to 18. If you send us an email to waitingfordoom@gmail.com, we'd be really, really happy if you'd be able to send them to me. And then we would send, you know, show our appreciation by sending you an exclusive Doom Patrol postcard that we're going to have made that will only be available to listeners of the show. So, you know, not going
to
be sold.
If they contribute to the Burn for You charity drive.
Yeah. I have a John Byrne-shaped hole in my life. If you can fill it, please send us an email.
So yeah, that's Burn for You, and this won't be a this will be a semi-regular segment. We'll provide updates, you know, as and when we have anything to share.
Yeah.
But yes, don't leave a Doom Bro hanging. If you're able to help, think of Paul. Think of the John Byrne shaped hole in his life, in his heart, and do what you can to help.
Fill my hole.
Yes, fill Paul's hole. Fill it as much as you can. Okay. How about we move on to Doomsplaining?
Okay, today on the show, we're looking at a one-off story, which is a very special one, and it appeared in an issue called Solo Number 7. Now, what's Solo, people ask me? It's a nice fizzy drink in Australia, but it's also, it's a series which was put together by DC, which really highlighted different artists and their work. So, Mark Chiarello, who was, I think was DC's graphics editor or something like that. He was the artistic editor of DC Comics for quite some time. He, like some editors have a real writer's bent, he has a real artistic focus. So he wanted to highlight the artists that DC had and put together a series to do that. And Solo was that series. So issue 7 was focused on Mike Allred. So it was filled with Mike Allred stories. And one of these little stories is called Doom Patrol versus the Teen Titans. It's only 8 pages. And it came out in December 2005 was the cover date on Solo number 7. But it was actually released October 26, 2005. And this one eluded me. I did not know about it. Mike, did you know about it?
No, not until we were researching, you know, Doom Patrol appearances. And it is a blind spot for me, I will admit. So just to clarify, so the entire issue is all red art?
Yes, it's all red art. Wow. And some of these solo issues, the artists would invite different people to write some of the stories. So I think like Neil Gaiman wrote some in one of the other ones. Right. Yeah. Tim Sale did the first issue of Solo. Richard Corbin did the second issue. Paul Pope did the third. Howard Chaykin, it was on number 4. Darwin Cook did number 5. I also have that issue. Jordy Benet did Solo number 6. Teddy Christensen did Solo number 8 after Allred did number 7. Scott Hampton, Damien Scott, Sergio Argonez from GRU, he did one. Wow. Brennan McCarthy. And they also released a hardcover trade hardcover edition with all the issues in it. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's a really interesting run, and it was very let's celebrate the arts rather than let's make some money.
Yeah.
But I think they have managed to make some money.
Yeah.
But the Mike Allred issue, it was basically completely reprinted in DC Comics Presents the Teen Titans, number 1 from 2011. Ooh. And that's where I came across it. So, yeah, it was pleasant to find a Doom Patrol. So DC Comics Presents were like a little repackaging of 4 issues, but in this case they just grabbed his entire solo issue and reprinted it. So, cool.
Cool.
Cool. So it's plotted and drawn by Mike Allred and scripted by Lee Allred. Now, Lee is Mike's brother, so he's involved with the Doom Patrol. He's also involved with that upcoming issue, I believe, or the Bug.
Series,
yes, he's involved with that. Is lettered by Nate Picos and coloured by Laura Allred. That's coincidentally Mike's wife. So, yeah, a lot of nepotism on this one.
Now,
it's not what you know; it's who you know. Clearly, anyway, it's good because it still works.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll take you through the issue. It's only 8 pages. It's lots of fun. I'll name some people. You can ask me at the end, Mike, who these people are if you're unsure.
Right.
So it's the Silver Age, and the grown-up crime fighters are away at a crime fighters symposium. That means Bruce Wayne's groovy penthouse pad in Gotham City is free for the evening. And the heroes, young sidekicks, collectively known as the Teen Titans, Robin, Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, Speedy, are going to take advantage of the pad for an impromptu party. Coincidentally, in the apartment immediately below, the original Doom Patrol are also checking in. So team member and part-time movie star Rita Farr, Elastic Girl, owns the apartment and uses it whenever she films in Gotham. And she tells Robot Man Cliff Steele and Negative Man Larry Trainer and their team leader Niles Calder, whom they call the Chief, that the millionaire who leases upstairs is never there. This bodes well for the Chief getting a really good night's sleep before he delivers the keynote speech at the Crime Fighters Convention tomorrow. But upstairs, Donna Troy, Wonder Girl, is unimpressed with the square music that Bruce Wayne owns. But luckily, the hostess with the mostest has brought her own mod tunes. Time to get this joint jumping with the keen teen scene. The other teens are unimpressed with the cheap root beer that Kid Flash brought. But Aqualad is happy to chow down on some frozen fish sticks that he found in the freezer. So Kid Flash zooms away, and all across America are returning in a flash with higher quality root beer. The boys then realize that there is a total gender imbalance at this party, and they move closer to Wonder Girl in a kind of threatening manner.
It's a bit downstairs, creepy, that panel. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Downstairs, Cliff is disturbed by the racket that might be a girl beating up four teenage boys. Hitting the over-fermented beer is a growing collection of superhero imps, and Batmite is chatting with Zook. And Wonder Girl is relieved as a whole bunch of junior superheroines arrive in response to her triggered Junior Justice League signal device. In through the window burst Supergirl, Batgirl, Queen Arrow and Girl Archer, and even Streaky the Supercat. Batgirl seems to have a particular fascination with Robin, the boy wonder, who is as keen to be distant from her as she is to be close to him. As teen dancing breaks out upstairs and Robin tries to friend zone Batgirl, Supergirl's dance card is being filled by the phantom zoned Mon-El from the Legion of Superheroes. But downstairs, Robot Man is reaching his breaking point, with Larry and Rita restraining him for fear of the Chief being woken. It's a bit late for that, I'm thinking. Meanwhile, Aqualad is having a soothing bath, but the waterlogged wonder is unaware that some Phantom Zone villains have zapped the taps with heat vision. As the bathroom fills completely with water, it begins to rain in the apartment below, further infuriating Cliff Steele, who keeps threatening the coming of clanking time. Upstairs, there is a debate about which record to be played next, with Wonder Girl stomping insistently on the cracking floor. Batmite, growing sick of the ruckus, magics up a teen band ready to play live and settle all arguments. But as they prepare to play, there's further cracking sounds underneath them, heard loudest by Aqualad in the underwater bathroom. Suddenly, the ceiling levee gives way, and the Chief is washed into Rita's living room. As he rides past the gathered Doom Patrol members, he yells, "Don't just stand there swimming, Steel! It's clanking time!" The rest of the story is full-on mayhem as the Doom Patrol battles the Teen Titans. The Chief is assaulted by Batmite, Zook, and Protey, but he breaks free and frisbees Wonder Girl's records away in disgust. One far-flung flatter pierces Batgirl's soda can, which explodes and drenches her and Cliff Steele, and the soda immediately rusts him up and totally immobilizes him. Robin tries to coax Streaky the Supercat into fighting on the teen side with a Streaky snack, but Streaky knows a half-eaten fish stick when he sees one. The enraged Supercat turns on all parties at the party. As Negative Man's Negative Energy and Kid Flash try desperately to evade the laser eye-firing feline, the penthouse apartment door is being unlocked by the owner, Bruce Wayne, accompanied by Kathy Kane, also known as Batwoman. And he's dropping by the penthouse to keep up his millionaire playboy image, though in reality there's nothing more than card games like cribbage to occur tonight, much to Kathy Kane's disappointment. As he opens the door, he is passed by a parade of teenage heroes and Doom Patrol members filing out of the devastated dwelling. As Super Pets, Phantom Zone crooks, and mischievous imps file past, he sees the full extent of the damage and gasps, "What in blue blazes happened to my apartment?" As the story closes, we see that in the 30th century, the Legion of Superheroes gathered around the Time Viewer watching the party in full swing a few minutes earlier. They have just received Supergirl's cross-time invitation, and they are keen to jump in the time bubbles and make their way there. This party will never really end. Excellent. So, Mike, what do you think of this one?
It's very short, it's very silly, but it's a lot of fun.
Isn't it?
It's very cool. What I love about Allred's art is that it reminds me of Premiani in that it's realistic but still cartoony.
Yeah, it's crisp and clear. But
and I also love how fluid his line work is. It's just so filled with action and movement. It's a great looking issue.
Yeah, and the little thing, there's a real ongoing thing with records being a big part of this. Like, you know, Wonder Girl is not impressed that Batman has Frank Sinatra and Ed Ames.
No. I do love the scene where the chief is flinging the records at the kids and you know, yelling at them about, you know, how they have, he's going to teach them, you know, how bad it is to disrespect music. You know, have some Ray Conniff singers and some Martin Denny and 101 Strings and, you know, Cole Porter and Nat King Cole.
So, yeah.
You show them, Chief.
Yeah, but, I mean, it becomes a real festival of Silver Age characters throughout. So, I mean, Mike Allred really wanted to get in as much as he could into this story, didn't he? Yeah, so as well as the original Titans, I mean, the first people to show up at the party is Batmite, who is like Batman's imaginary imp sidekick.
Zook, I can't really recall Zook.
Zook is the same thing except for the Martian Manhunter.
Right.
And okay. Best Forgotten, like no one refers to Zook these days, though Nick Darrington did a drawing of Zook not too long ago.
Okay, that's where I'm probably thinking of. I knew I'd seen it somewhere, but knew nothing else about it. And in the final page, there's some little plasma pet thing curling the page up.
That's Protee, who is part of the Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
Protee is like a blobby thing, but at one point Protee emulated one of the members of the Legion of Superheroes and gave his life, so he's a shape changer. Ooh. But Protee is actually attacking the chief on one of the pages when the party first when the two parties merge.
Oh, wow.
So, this is a very disturbing picture of the chief sweating, being assaulted by Batmite, Zook, and Protee.
Oh, dear. But yeah, it's a great, fun little story. You know, and it's, I wish it went a bit longer, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's interesting. The Doom Patrol definitely come across as, you know, boring adults in this compared to the Titans.
Yes, they're nowhere near as groovy as those kids.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I was unfamiliar with some of the characters. Like, I did not know the Archer characters that burst in. So we've got, was it Queen Arrow and Girl Archer?
They were new to me as well, yes.
Yeah. I know Batgirl, that's that's Bette Kane.
Right.
Yeah, she had a real thing for Robin, but it's interesting this, he's completely uninterested in her until she's out of her clothes and in a towel at the end.
Yeah, yeah, funny that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, these teens seem fairly sexed up, don't they?
A little bit, yeah. That again, that panel where the boys realise that Wonder Girl is the only woman there.
Yes.
And they're all kind of, you know, hunched over and, you know, creeping, literally creeping towards her, and Speedy's going, "Here, cheeky, cheeky." And Kid Flash has a really disturbing look on his face.
It's very predatory.
And Aqualad's just standing there eating the frozen fish sticks still.
Yes.
So you know where his mind is. But yeah, that was a little bit disturbing, but yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like General Zod showing up in the Phantom Zone to zap the taps, which makes the bathroom filled with water. There's a bald villain in the Phantom Zone as well. I'm not sure who that is.
But, no, nor am I. I just consider them generic Phantom Zone villains. I didn't even realize it was,
I'm Zod. Sure they're not, and I'm sure no one will tell us.
Yeah, well, look, you never know. Now that you've said that, someone will probably pipe up and go, "Well, actually, that was..."
And on the last page, we've got a little bit of a Wizard of Oz tribute as Cliff is carried out and he's frozen like a statue. He's going, "Oil can, oil can." And Wonder Girl's saying to him, "If you only had a brain." And then the chief is in Scooby-Doo villain mode, where he said, "I would have gotten away with a good night's sleep too if it hadn't been for those meddling kids and their dog." And Supergirl going, "He's a cat, C-A-T.
Now, you know, one appearance that kind of puzzled me on that last page is that Silver Age Mr. Terrific?
Yes, Silver Age Mr. Terrific is there. Maybe he was dead at that point, because he's filing out with all the imaginary, like the imps.
And you can
see the back of the super horse there as well.
Yeah, I was wondering what the heck that was.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I like that the party's over, but the Legion of Superheroes have just found out about it and they're willing to get involved. And we do have the bottom page sort of turned up at the corner, and we can see Protea thinking, Zook, Batmite, Streaky, and me, the Legion of Super Pets rides again. And Batmite's going, hey, I'm not a pet. And Zook is saying, Zook.
I'm assuming that's all that Zook ever says.
Man, he's probably like Pikachu.
Right. Just not as popular.
Not as heavily marketed.
No. But yeah, it's a fun little story. It's a great little piece. And again, a few pages more, I would have gladly enjoyed. But yeah. I can't fault anything in this story. It's a bit of Silver Age silliness, and it's a fun read.
Yeah, and the rest of the issue, if you ever come across it, is lots of fun too. There's a really good one with Our Man, who basically takes his Miracle pill and he's got 1 hour to fight crime, and he basically runs out of things to do. So he's like, he's all hopped up and hyperactive and got nothing to do. So he's changing tires and rescuing cats and helping people do the shopping and all sorts of stuff.
Oh dear!
But I love you know, the Allred sense of humour through all this. You know, that there's a lot of fun to be had, a lot of you know, loving mocking to go on.
Yes.
It's very affectionate, but it's also, you know, wasn't some of the Silver Age stuff really silly?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, let's celebrate it. I mean, it's silly, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a nice little addition to the history of the Doom Patrol.
Yeah. And I'm glad we came across it.
Yes.
All right. Is that doomsplained?
I think that's as doomsplained as it possibly can be, yes.
Awesome.
Okay, so it's time for the Mailbag of Doom. We weren't really going to have one this week because of shenanigans, but we did get a couple of messages that we're going to go across this time. We got a tweet from Big Tim Styles, who's at Big Tim Styles, who asked us, who would you cast in a Doom Patrol movie and who would we have directed? Now, we have actually done our fan casting for a Doom Patrol movie. We did that all the way back in episode 8, and I think our casting would still stand pretty much.
I think yours was better than mine, but we did.
It was a group effort. Because we've got the listeners to vote, you know, on it. So I know some of your choices were put forward, some of mine were picked up. So it was a good team effort. But we never mentioned who we would like to have directed, Paul. Who would you choose?
I very much like, what's his freaking name?
That guy.
Yeah. I'd really like to see Edgar Wright put onto a Doom Patrol movie.
Ooh.
That man's a good director. He knows how to direct things and make them interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, and even his films that are commercial failures, I think, are artistic successes. So,
give us an example.
Edgar Wright did Shaun of the Dead.
He did. Right.
Yeah. Bloody hopeless. Paul, he directed Paul.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, he directed Scott Pilgrim Saves the World.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, you know, he's a great director. Cool. Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz is
probably my favorite. All good films.
Yeah. Very good. World's End. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a bloody good director.
Yes.
What about you, Mike? Who would you?
I'd probably go with Guillermo del Toro.
Ooh.
I think he could get some of the weirdness down really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet he could.
Yeah, he's done some weird shit. Pan's Labyrinth, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, but it's interesting though, because you could probably use several different directors depending on which version of the team you went with. Like if you want to do a straight 60s version, you know, you'd probably go for someone different to if you wanted to do the Morrison run. Or,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, so check out episode 8 if you want to hear our thoughts on who we would cast. But, yeah, thanks for that, Tim. And Paul, we also heard from Steve Lacey in response to our discussion about the Fantastic Four's vehicles.
Yeah, someone brought up the Pogo plane as a Fantastic Four vehicle, and Mike and I, being not Fantastophiles, were not really across that one. So we asked Steve Lacey, who appeared on our show, to talk about the Fantastic Four connections with the Doom Patrol, and he said, I've literally just heard the call. The flying bathtub is the first incarnation of the Fantastic car. Okay, tick. We knew that. The Pogo plane looks like a four-person jet plane. The car is for short range. The plane is for medium to long range. And occasionally, long range travel will be via ICBM, or Intercontinental Ballistic Missile, a passenger version of the nuclear warhead delivery system.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. They like to live dangerously, that Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Comic book science.
Oh, dearie me.
Well, I mean, that's all we have for the Mailbag of Doom this week, because we didn't ask people a question of the week. But we will be back soon with another question of the week, and that is, what is the best Disney film?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's an open field.
Well, there's only about six of them, I think.
Now, to clarify, are you talking specifically Disney, or you are allowing Disney Pixar films?
I'm allowing Disney Marvel or Disney Star Wars. I don't know. It's up to the individual. True. It could be anything connected with Disney, where the Disney bucks. Put that out.
The House of Mouse is large and encompasses money.
Yeah. Anyway. Or you could be pure and say, I'm thinking pure Disney.
Right.
It's up to you.
Okay.
But next time on the show, we are going to be looking at Volume 6 of the Doom Patrol, the Issue 1 Director's Cut that's finally coming out.
Ooh.
Ooh, so we wait a little bit and we'll be on it soon in the next step. Whew. All right, but if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch via Twitter and talk to Wilfred at WFDpod. Email, as we said before, waitingfordoom@gmail.com. Don't forget that if you have a Burn For You solution for me. Waiting For Doom Facebook page. And My Greatest Adventure, 80.blogspot.com, has the show updates, the posts that go with the shows, and they're done by Doug, and he does other stuff on the site as well. And it's fabulous, and you should all have a look. He's been killing it lately, hasn't he?
Mm, yes, indeed. Yep.
Yes. But I think that's all for this one.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you all again next time for more Waiting For Doom.
Waiting For Doom.
What an episode. Thank you for staying with us. We've got a lot to cover. The Week in Comics. Hey, who remembered that JLA Haven was a thing? The guys go down on Darrington Way. Will the release schedule hold up, or will Doom Patrol suffer more delays? And will Mike and Paul ever get Gerard Way or Nick Darrington to appear on the show? And how about that Doom Clock? We got a big question this week. What if the Doom Patrol team never gets together fully like we expect? Plus, Doomsplaining and the Mailbag of Doom. Paul made a lot of interesting sounds in that segment. Later on in this episode, we'll have an exclusive interview with Doom Patrol cover artist Simon Bisley, maybe, and the new promo for Waiting For Doom is here. We'll play it during our first break. My guest tonight from the SNG Network, FKA Jason, is here, plus Mr. Roldspine himself, Diablo Frank, and none other than the Fighting Sutherlands themselves, Darren and Ruth. I'm Ryan Daly, and this is Talking Doom. All right, thank you everyone for joining us. Those of you at home, we want to read your thoughts. Tweet to @WFDpod with your comments and questions, and don't forget to use the hashtag TalkingDoom. Everybody out there in listener land, please help me welcome our guests to the show. FKA Jason, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Ryan. It's been a while.
It has. Thank you. We missed you so much. All right, making his first appearance on Talking Doom, it's Diablo Frank. What's up, Frank?
I remember Haven of the Broken City. It was good.
Of course you do. What a silly question.
There's one in every crowd.
And our friends from the RAD Network, we're so glad to have you back, Darren and Ruth Sutherland. Welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
We're going to try not to fight long enough to get through this.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean. All right, question one, kicking things off. The guys previewed a brand new segment today, Burn For You, as in John Byrne. They're finally moving ahead with covering these stories, but Paul doesn't have the completed run, so they're asking listeners for help acquiring these back issues. Jay, is this a good idea for the guys?
I personally don't think it is. I mean, one thing I'm really kind of sick of is seeing all these Australians with their hands out. I mean, they've got eBay down there. They can find these these issues. They can buy these issues. Why do I have to spend my hard-earned money supporting Paul Hicks's dirty habit? I mean, come on.
Oh, right. I'm glad to hear that attitude. That's just what we need to hear.
Right on, man. This is Trump's America that we live in.
For some of us, it definitely is.
For some of us, yes.
Darren, Ruth, what do you think?
Well, I just have to chime in first before we get too far into that specific topic, because it's just burning at me right now. I've got to get this off my chest. I've been listening to this show for more than a year now. Paul and Mike lured me in with their witty personalities and their cute little accents and their stories about conventions and concerts they go to. And before you know it, I'm listening to the show and I'm getting all caught up in it. And a new comic series starts and I decide I'll buy it. So I start buying Doom Patrol. And then I learned they've got this underhanded deal with DC Comics, so the comic is always behind schedule, so that waiting for Doom is still a thing. I mean, this is just enough. I agree with Jay and where he's coming from, because these guys, it's already too much, and now they want some money from us as well and some comics. I'm sorry. I just can't get this any further.
Yeah, the show has definitely jumped the shark. I mean, I hate to butt in, but, you know, I know I don't usually do that. But, I mean, the show is really – it's on its last legs. I mean, we can appreciate it for what it was, but we can't appreciate it for what it is, because it's just not the great show that it used to be. I'm sorry, Ruth. Please go on.
Ruth, help us out. Throw us a bone here.
I think I'm a little more compassionate here, and I've come up with an idea. I want to suggest that they do a telethon, and perhaps even Jerry Lewis could contribute to this worthy cause.
You think?
I hope so.
I don't know. I think I've already given enough just by listening. I'm giving till it hurts already.
But I want them to get the issues. I really want to hear what they have to say about them. So I'm going to support them on this.
Well, you almost make a point. I could almost enjoy hearing them have to talk about issues that they never bothered to buy. So obviously they didn't really want them.
Well, hold that thought about giving them for him. Frank, your first official question on Talking Doom. What do you think? Is now the right time to cover the burn issues?
Okay, now, my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that in Australia they banned guns. Like the mid-90s or so, and I think there's a little-known provision that also banned John Byrne comics from that point onward. They missed out on all that Spider-Man material. I think that they came out ahead in that game. That having been said, though, the Byrne series gave us Rita Farback, and I think that vindicated the entire series' existence, because to me, that's the best character in the book, and I think that she's added great value to the Doom Patrol with her return. So I'll give them credit just for that. And also, if they want my copies of JLA The Tenth Circle, I'll be happy to mail them to them.
Very, very generous. All right. This question's for everyone, but we'll start with Ruth. We found out in this episode that Paul Hicks had a birthday recently. What would be your ultimate birthday present for Paul?
Okay. I've got a plan here. You know how they were talking about their favorite director to make a Doom Patrol movie?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ultimate gift would be for us to somehow, some way, get the financing together, the producing together, all of that, so we could get the movie produced. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a Kickstarter campaign could handle that. It can't cost more than a dollar and a quarter.
Ouch. Jay, what do you think?
What do I think of the Kickstarter, or what do I think I would get Paul for his birthday?
First one, then the other. What do you think about the Kickstarter idea for the movie?
Kickstarter is a great idea. I mean, they're right. What could it be, like $1.50? I mean, I could handle that. And that's like $3 Australian, right? But for Paul Hicks' birthday, I mean, he didn't tell me that it was his birthday. And it was just my birthday, too, recently. So you'd think that would have come up in conversation. But he kind of slipped that in there. So I'm thinking what the best thing for Paul would be is maybe some Robot Man underpants. You know, with the face of Robot Man right there on the crotch. Obviously worn by me, and nothing else. Maybe laying on a bed of feathers, you know, kind of, you know, seductively saying, "Hey, Paul, happy birthday, brother." I mean, who wouldn't want that, really?
Frank, you got to top that one.
I'd like to get him on the season finale episode of the DC Bloodlines podcast. DC Bloodlines podcast, available on the Roll Spine Podcasting Network.
Good luck with that.
Shameless plugging like a pro.
it is Talking Doom after all. I do realize, though, that's sort of like the handmade birthday card involving glued macaroni of podcasting. So.
I can't believe none of you said, like, made the obvious connection. I asked these questions back to back. Why don't we just get him issues 4 through 18 of the burn run of Doom Patrol?
That would cost money. Okay. Do you know what the shipping is to Australia?
Okay, then what about a software patch for Wilfred?
I can get him a link to Torrance.
Shh, shh. Not on the air. All right. Well, Frank, I got to know if you picked up on the same thing that I did this episode. Whenever the guys talked about upcoming
issues. They keep pronouncing Gerard Way's name as though at the back of the Black Parade, there's an unmarked van with black windows and a guy's handing children cookies from Subway.
That too. We'll come back to that one.
But Gerard Way, which oddly enough, there's another Gerard who kind of ties into Jared recently, but we're not going to that. Gerard Way. There's a language barrier, apparently, with the Australians.
Who would have thought?
There's the right way, then there's the Gerard Way.
Horrible, horrible. Whenever the guys talked about upcoming issues of Doom Patrol, you know, specifically with the release schedule, did they seem a little gun-shy to you?
Look, it plays into the podcast name, like was discussed earlier, so I think it's wise to lean into the skid. And we got to keep it positive here, guys. It's Talking Doom. Yeah!
I don't know. What do you get? What do the others think? Jay, what do you think? I thought they sounded a little bit deflated whenever they're talking about the release of upcoming issues.
I don't know. When I was listening, I was just so drunk. I couldn't tell you what they were talking about.
You're recording upcoming drunk cast?
I'm looking forward to the Miguel Ferrer episode.
Yeah, drunk cast available on sngpod.com. God, you guys are cracking me up. Sorry, what was the question?
I don't think it matters.
Good.
Darren, Ruth, were any of you guys kind of unsettled by the fact that Paul kept on saying at this stage whenever they talked about the release schedule?
All I can say is I think Paul's looking for an excuse for the series to get canceled this time. It always gets canceled, so maybe he wants some excuse other than just poor sales. I think that's what he's fishing for.
It puts some excitement when you're waiting for Doom.
That's what they need. All right, Darren, everybody else has plugged their show, so I'm giving you the chance to do it now, too. Where can people find your shows?
Oh, very good. Well, here's the important part of this episode, because, yes, we have three podcasts. Trekker Talk about Ron Randall's Trekker.
Warlord Worlds about Mike Grell's works.
And Xenozoic Xenophiles about the works of Mark Schultz.
All right. Coming up on the show, we might have an interview with Simon Beasley, the cover artist for a big chunk of the Grant Morrison era. And after the break, we're talking doomsplaining and our lightning round questions for the guests. But first, it's finally here, the debut of the new Waiting for Doom promo. Enjoy.
Phew. Now the great show wrapped.
Sure was.
Now, time to move on to our serious business, time for the monthly team meeting. So, Team WFD, roll call, activate. Host, Mike.
I'm here, bro.
Webmaster, Doug.
Hey, everybody.
Kapow. Tech support, Rifty.
Huzzah, it is I, Rifty.
Ascendient Twitter account, Wilfred.
Hello, humans.
And me, other host, Paul. Okay, everyone present. Now let's look at our upcoming schedule because we've got some big things coming up. I think our first order of business should be the new segment. Thoughts?
Is the new segment about my triumphant return to your world?
What the f***?
Holy s***.
Son of a...
Who let the candle maker in here? Well, Fred?
There are far too many humans on this show. I'm just trying to balance things out.
Look, I'm sorry, Candlemaker. There's nothing really for you in the upcoming episodes. Plus, let's be honest, you had your 15 minutes.
What? How dare you? I'm King Kandor.
Yeah, whatever. Look, we've got a new segment launching. We've got some guests planned, Jail May 2 to look forward to, not to mention our 100th episode coming up, and we really don't have room for you, I'm sorry.
Fine. Whatever. You mortals and your show suck.
Oh, yeah? Well, we might suck, but we can still blow you out just like Dorothy the Ape-Face Girl did.
Yeah, in your face, King Candle.
Oh, ha-ha. Very funny. Bye, losers. See you in hell.
Man, that guy was a jerk.
We're doomed.
Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com.
All right, Frank, you are the super fan. Please let us know what is in that special notebook of yours.
Oh, I'll be letting y'all know all throughout the rest of the episode. I got notes here about the Comicology because I see the guys got their sponsorship with Comicology and Fire and Water Podcast. They got their sponsorship with Inside Trades. And, you know, Roll Spine's been trying to get that, but we can't get with anybody that doesn't involve with hentai. But I want to talk to the guys about that. But also, I love the DCU Secret Files Origins. So I got a little note about that. And Zook actually talked a whole bunch. If you watch if you read the comic books, he was talking all the time. And he was great, too. I want to tell you all about how great Zook is. And my favorite Disney movie, because they were talking about the question of the week, is Disney. I always love the Fox and the Hound, so we'll talk about that. And I've also got this great shipping idea between Mike and Wilfred. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to talk about it.